Grace to you and peace, dear messengers of our Lord and our Savior, who have already heard an amazing message for yourselves, that you have a Savior, you have a Lord, who willingly gave up His life to wash away every single one of your sins. And now in praise and in thanks, we get to proclaim that grace and that mercy and that peace to others. As we continue on in our Epiphany season and we watch our Savior reveal Himself to us, we marvel at the fact today that He uses us to do that. That He can use people like Peter and James and John and you and me to be those messengers, to get out there with His Word and catch people. So as you and I marvel at that this morning, we are going to turn our attention for the next few moments to our second lesson and think about those words from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. A section that deals with speaking in tongues, probably something that you and I have never done and probably something that we don't always think that much about. To kind of set the stage for what we're going to be talking about, the letter to the Corinthians was written to a congregation that was really struggling. They had all kinds of difficulties, and a lot of it can stem back to that main difficulty he addressed already back in chapter 1. A congregation that had divided itself up, divided itself into its little groupings and its little cliques. We like this particular pastor, we want to follow Peter, we like Apollos, we go after Paul. And that led to all kinds of problems. Because as they divided themselves up into their own little groups, that also then makes them start thinking only of themselves, and they're not thinking so much about others. And that began to show itself even in their worship. As we think about the various gifts that God has given to His church, the Apostle Paul begins in chapter 12 to describe all those different gifts. And he uses the picture of a body to do it. You have one body. You've got all kinds of different parts in that body. You've got eyes and ears and knees and toes. They don't all do the same thing. Some things we take better care of than other parts. Some parts we think are more important than other parts. But if any part of the body doesn't do its job, no matter how important or insignificant we think it is, the body can't quite function. So you have all those different gifts that are used. After describing that in chapter 12, he goes to chapter 13, and he describes how you use those gifts. Chapter 13, you know, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. The greatest of these is love. So in that great love chapter, he is reminding us that you take whatever the gift is that God has given to you, and you use it in love. Now in chapter 14, he is going to explain that, and he's going to apply that, and he's going to use two gifts in particular, the gift of prophecy and the gifts of tongues. And as you and I take a look at this particular section, as he's focusing mainly on that gift of tongues, you and I are reminded, as well as those Corinthians, to grow up, to mature. He summarizes that whole idea in the last verse of our lesson. He says in verse 20, brothers, do not be children in your thinking, but be like babies in regard to evil, and be mature in your thinking. Go from childish to mature. Grow up. No matter where you and I are on that childish to mature spectrum, either physically or spiritually, we understand the picture and we notice at times that there's always those temptations to kind of revert back to the childish ways. Tongues are kind of fancy looking. They had a lot of flash. They had a lot of glitter. They got people's attention. And when you and I are children, we kind of like the things that get our attention. We like the flash. We like the glitter. And when we are children, we say a lot of things such as, look at me. Daddy, watch this. Look at what I can do. See what I did. And when your children are 2 and 3 and 4, you gladly and you willingly set everything aside because you want to see what they did and you want to watch what they can do. But if they're still 30 and they're still saying, hey, look at me, look at what I can do, watch this, that's not so good anymore. Some of these Corinthians had not gotten past that sort of childish idea of saying, hey, look at what we can do. And they loved to seek after that gift of tongues so that everybody would focus on them and what they were accomplishing. The apostle encourages us to grow up. As he does that, he reminds us that tongues are a gift. It's not so much the issue with the gift itself, it's how it's being used. And he kind of walks through the whole thing in our lesson. Since you are eager for spiritual gifts, seek to use them abundantly in a way that will build up the church. That is why a person who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what is to be done? I will pray using my spirit, and I will pray also using my understanding. I will sing using my spirit, and I will sing also using my understanding. Otherwise, how will an uninformed person say the Amen after you give thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? To be sure, you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. It is a gift that the Lord had given to His church, a gift that was there to verify that the Spirit was at work, carrying out His work among God's people. It is a gift that He apparently doesn't give anymore. Every now and then we hear about other people looking for the gift of tongues, and we sometimes hear about different groups that claim to be speaking in tongues. As you go through the Old Testament, that gift seems to vary a little bit between, like Pentecost, tongues meaning other languages that people can understand. It's just a language that you hadn't learned. And also a language that only God understands, the sort of ecstatic speech. That seems to be, the second one, what Paul is talking about here. A gift. He even has the gift, and he thanks God for the gift. But when you compare that particular gift with the others, especially prophecy, which he talks about in the first part of the chapter, there really is not much benefit. There's limited benefit to the one who has the gift. The Spirit, the new self, the one that has been that new life of faith that has been planted in there through word and sacrament, that is busy singing, praying, praising. But the understanding, the mind, is kind of disconnected, almost blank. Maybe think of it like this. There are some things that you really know well. Maybe there's a section of the liturgy that you have memorized so much. Perhaps it's the Lord's Prayer. And you have caught yourself saying the words, singing the words, but the brain's kind of disconnected. You're busy thinking about what you're going to have for supper. You're busy thinking about what the weather's going to be doing next week. You're busy thinking about all kinds of other things. You're praising. You're singing. Part of you is involved, but your understanding is disconnected. The apostle says that that's sort of how tongues works. Unless you've got that gift of interpretation so that you actually know what you're saying, there really is no understanding. And if there's limited benefit to the one who actually has the gift, then there is no benefit to the one who's listening. Well, they might be impressed. They might pay attention. But they're not built up. They're not instructed. They can't add an amen to your prayer because they have no idea what you're saying. So grow up, he says. As you're thinking about the kind of gifts that you want to use, he's reminding them, seek those gifts that can build up the church. Seek those gifts that can encourage others and not just show off. I think there's times we're sort of like the Corinthians. I don't think we're probably busily praying every night that God would give us the ability to speak in some kind of language or in some kind of tongue that we've never learned before. But there may be times when we kind of revert to the childish and we need to grow up because we really aren't all that impressed with the gospel anymore. We want something flashy. We want something better. The tried and true of baptism, word, and supper seems to be a little bit too mundane. Seems to be something that maybe isn't really working all that well anymore. And so we're looking for something that can grab results, something that can get us moving forward again, something that can accomplish a task. And every now and then, God in His grace allows us to see the flash. That uptick in attendance. That emotional response that we had to a certain song or to something that we heard. Those are blessings. Those are gifts that He gives to you and to me. He can use those things to help us to grow up. But He also then reminds us, don't get so wrapped up in the flash and the glitter and the fancy stuff that you forget what caused it. That you get so wrapped up in the results that you set aside the tools that the Spirit does promise to use. The gospel in His word and in His sacraments. As we go from the childish thinking of what I like and what I see and what I can do to the more mature thinking, rejoicing in what God does in His way and in His will, we have that opportunity to grow up and use whatever the gift is that God gives to us. Paul puts the whole thing in perspective when he says, 10,000 tongues, that would be amazing. That would be mind-boggling. If somebody suddenly broke into 10,000 tongues, you and I might go home and we might start talking about it and we start telling the friends and neighbors all about it and they'll say, well, what did it mean? Well, I don't know. But it sure was impressive. But in order to build up the church, Paul says, as impressive as 10,000 tongues might be, I'd rather say 5 words that people can understand. He doesn't say which 5. It might be something like Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Something that can build, something that can encourage, something that can help us to use whatever the gift is that God has given to us. You've got one. You have one of those gifts. You're part of the body of Christ. Depending upon what your gift is and where you're at, there are times when probably almost all of us would tend to think, well, my gift isn't all that important. Somebody else can do something bigger and better. Somebody else can do something that gets more results. Somebody else, I wish I had what they could do. The Apostle Paul, as he encourages us to grow up, helps us to put everything into perspective. Notice what Paul is saying. He had the gift. He loved the gift. But he used those gifts in connection to the people that he loved. His goal was not to come and wow them and to impress them and to mystify them with his ability. He came to benefit them. All those gifts, tongues, prophecy, whatever talent and ability that you have is used to praise your God and to build up His church. So as we grow, I begin to realize just how important that gift is to me. And you can say that for yourself as well. Think about the gift that God has given me. I need a Savior. As you think about coming to the Lord's Supper, if you haven't already done so, perhaps during the offering you'll be taking some moments to kind of rapidly walk through those 10 commandments. To be reminded again how badly I have failed. How badly I do not measure up to what God expects me to do. He has a standard. He's the Creator. I'm the creation. I do not have the right to question what God has to say. I do not have the authority to rewrite what He has to say. I do not have the authority to say, God, what You have to say doesn't apply to me. Instead, I just see how far short of what God made me to be, I actually am. I need help. And I have it. I need a Savior. And I have one. That amazing gift of this Word tells me that I have someone who steps into my place. I have someone who lived what I couldn't live and died a death I could never die. I have someone who's already gone through death and is alive again. And now, because of my baptism, I'm counted as perfect. I'm counted as already died to sin. I'm counted as already living for Him. An amazing gift. And now whatever the talent is that I have is used for the benefit of those who are around me. And I begin to see how important that gift is to me. And I see how important that gift is to others. We get to be the messengers. We get to be the ones who've heard this amazing gift, who rejoice in the fact that I have a Savior, and now we get to be the ones that go to others who also know that they are falling short, who maybe don't even know how far short they've come. They've got the same Savior. They have the same Lord. They have the same forgiveness. God uses us to use whatever opportunity, gift, setting in life. It may not be flashy. It may not be something that everybody's going to be running around talking about, but it gives you the chance to take this gift and build up the church and benefit someone else and point them to their Savior. And just as important as that gift is to me and to others, marvel at how important that gift is to God. He's the one who gave it. And whether that gift is speaking in tongues or whatever it may happen to be, we get to use it to pray, praise, and give thanks. We grow up. We gather around His Word, rejoice in His promise, and we start to move from those childish ways and the sort of me-centered ideas, and we begin to mature and we start thinking about God and others. And in the process, we grow up. We grow up into Him who is the head. We grow up in our faith and we grow up in our confidence. And so as we face whatever challenges come along, the big ones and the little ones, the life-threatening ones and the annoying ones, we grow in God's love. And as we grow up, we become the tools that the Spirit uses so that the church can grow up as well. Amazing gifts used to His glory that allows us all to grow up. Amen.